How many believe that statement that's up there on the screen?
I hope. There it is.
God knows us better than we know ourselves. Do you think that's a true statement?
Let's look at Psalm 139 and see if that's
so. See what David said about that. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. I'm going to read that in the New English Translation, which I think is a particularly good translation of that particular psalm that David records. O Lord, you examine me and know. You know when I sit down and when I get up. Even from far away, you understand my motives. You ever wonder about your own motives? You wonder, why did I do that? This particular psalm says God knows our motives. He goes on to say in verse 3, you carefully observe me when I travel or when I lie down to rest. You are aware of everything I do. Certainly my tongue does not frame a word without you, O Lord, being thoroughly aware of it. You squeeze me in from behind and in front. You place your hand on me. Your knowledge is beyond my comprehension. It is so far beyond me, I am unable to fathom it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Of course, that's rhetorical. Where can I flee to escape your presence? If I were to ascend to heaven, you would be there. If I were to sprawl out in Sheol, there you would be. If I were to fly away on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the other side of the sea, even there your hand would guide me. Your right hand would grab hold of me. If I were to say, certainly the darkness will cover me, and the light will turn to night all around me, even the darkness is not too dark for you to see. And the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Certainly you made my mind and heart and wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give you thanks because your deeds are awesome and amazing. You knew me thoroughly. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and sewed together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was inside the womb. All the days ordained for me were recorded in your scroll before one of them came into existence. How difficult it is for me to fathom your thoughts about me, O God. How vast is their sum total. If I tried to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. Even if I finished counting them, I would still have to contend with you. And we'll stop there. But that is a truly wonderful psalm that David records and speaks of the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Psalm 139, it was a psalm of David. He knows me better than I know myself. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. When I was a kid, I would build model airplanes and model cars, and I loved to put these models together. And when I first started trying to do that, a lot of times I would grab a model, I'd tear into it, and you know, they put a lot of paper in those. I don't know if you've ever built a model, but there was a lot of paper there that was just, I thought at the time, filler. I don't know why they put that paper there, but I would start putting the model together and I would be really excited. Then I realized they put those instructions there for a reason, because you start gluing everything together and you realize, wait a minute, those instructions are there for a reason. It didn't take long for me to realize that that old saying, when in doubt, read the instructions, they made a difference, because you start gluing that stuff together and then you start having to tear it apart and it makes a mess and you realize, I really needed to read those instructions. The one that made that model knows better about how the model goes together than the guy that's opening it up and trying to get it to fit together. You start realizing that the blueprints make a difference. And we can make a spiritual application. You can come up with a pretty good model if you read the blueprints. God is the one who made us. And he gave us the blueprints. in the Bible. He didn't just leave us to flounder around here without some instruction sheets. And to try to live life without reading the blueprints and reading the instructions is kind of like trying to put that model together and just going out here and starting life without reading the blueprints or reading the instructions. And the point is, he wants us to read the instruction manual. A lot of times it's kind of funny when we order some things today that's built in China and you get it, you can tell that English was not their first language. And I enjoy reading the instruction sheets now because they're kind of funny when you start reading them. And actually now I do read the instruction sheets first. But you can tell English was not their first language. But it's still a good idea to do what? Try to put it together, create a mock-up, and then start tightening things down, because you realize that even today, if you start reading the instruction sheet, you may realize that the person who made this knows what they're talking about, and they know better about how it goes together. God knows what makes us happy, and he knows what makes us sad. You know, a lot of people in life feel like that God gives us these instructions because he wants us to live his way, and he's just selfish about it. They go out and they try to live their way, and when they've tried everything possible and nothing's worked, then they think, well, you know what? I've tried this, I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've tried all these different things. When all else fails, I'll see what the church has to say, and I'll see what the Bible has to say, because none of this other stuff worked. And when all else fails, I'll see what God had to say about it. God knows what's good for us. He knows what's in our best interest. And those are the things he's giving us through his word. He's been through what we have experienced on earth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things that we are, yet was without sin." God knew what things were like because he created us. And if that wasn't enough, he sent Jesus to earth to experience the things that we experienced. He's experienced pain. He's experienced temptation. He's experienced living as a human being, and he knows what it's like. And you know, a lot of times we feel like that God is not in touch with mankind. And we feel like we're living so remote from where God really is in heaven. But God has experienced where we're at. He's put all that information for us in writing in the Bible. And so we can live by that blueprint. And we can achieve happiness. We can achieve peace. We can achieve hope. And it'll always be far better than trying to stick the pieces together without reading the instruction manual. We need to be convinced that God knows what's best. Not some of the time. Not most of the time. But rather all of the time. And that's what happens. We end up a lot of times thinking, well, in this particular occasion, maybe I'll try to follow the Bible. It's better all the time. In the Old Testament, in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, verse 12 and 13, we read, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in..." Notice it says, "all his ways." "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with what? All your heart." Not just most of your devotion, but all your heart. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Do we know? I wonder sometimes. And it says, "with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." And what's the reason? It says, "for your good." For your good. That's strong words. And those were God's people. And we realize today that many of the laws that he gave them in the Old Testament were to preserve his people. But you know, that was then and this is now. He doesn't really know now, does he? But of course he does. Of course he does. That was the old days. They're not as advanced as we are today, are they? We're much more advanced today. They had their dietary laws were old and outdated. They didn't understand a lot of the things that we do today. We're far more advanced in our civilization, aren't we? Today, we're way more advanced. We don't need those old kind of laws today. But I wonder years down the road if we will look at the laws today and realize we didn't have a clue. He gave us those instructions because today we still don't have a clue. We still don't have a clue. He gives us those instructions not because he wants to see us sad, not because he wants to mess up our lives. He knows how well we do at messing up our own lives. He's trying to help us and guide us into a fulfilled life for all time. For all time. And it should be of great comfort to know that the strength to overcome temptations, the power to bear trials, the solution to bear the problems can be found within God's instruction manual. Do we meditate on God's book? You know, a passage that I mention often, this 1 Corinthians 10:13. And you know, that's one that you probably can recite by heart. But it mentions that no temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man. In other words, any temptation that's out there is pretty much common. It's a common temptation. No temptation is different from other temptation. It may be different in the nature, but it's still a temptation. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provide you way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. Peter wrote that through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord, all things have been granted to us pertaining to life and godliness. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And notice it says that all things. And I like that qualifier, that all things. And that pertains to the things that we encounter in life. All things have been given to us. God's not left us to flounder around in the dark and muddle through life on our own without a clue. He's given us ways to proceed. He's given us instructions to proceed. Psalm 119, if you've ever wondered about God's Word, you need to spend some time with Psalm 119. Did you know Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible? And you know what it talks about? His Word. It talks about His Word. But Psalm 19:105, it says, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And Psalm 119, all through that psalm, speaks about His Word and talks about different things that His Word can do. It talks about meditation upon His Word. It talks about good things it can do for your life. Spend some time with Psalm 119 this week and see the kind of things that it talks about that it can do for your life. Meditate on Psalm 119. It's wonderful. The Bible is a treasure house of the ages. It's the storehouse of true knowledge, and it's the repository of real wisdom. Of real wisdom. Let your Bible be your blueprint for the nook and cranny of your life, and the results will overwhelm you. Do you ever have any problems in life? You probably don't, but I'm going to tell you I do. I have difficulties. I have questions. I have temptations. I have things that bug me in my life, things that I think about. And you know, during those times, I think about those things, pick up the Word, and especially for our Wednesday night class, if I spend time reading whatever passages we're on at the time, there are times that certain passages just jump off the page and just hit me up both sides of the head. Things I have read hundreds of times before. And you know, it's just uncanny the way that it seems to be things that I've read before, no matter how many times, and it will always be things that I should have seen before. And I'll tell you right now, I believe the Bible to be a supernatural book because God is in it. It's alive. It says it in Hebrews that the Word is alive. It's alive. And you're going to say, is he saying that he believes that the Bible's alive? I do. I believe it. I believe it's alive. And I believe it's like a sword. It can cut people. It'll tear you up if you actually see your picture in there. See yourself in the mirror. Because, you know, you look in the real mirror sometimes and you think, do I really look like that? The Bible will show you what you look like. And sometimes we don't like what we see when we look in the Word. If we really look, because it shows us what we really look like. And it's alive, and it will do that. But it will also give us the answer to problems. Let me ask you another question. Do you know God's telephone number? Now, everybody's got a cell phone these days. God's got a cell phone too. Did you know that? And he's got a telephone number. Do you know what his telephone number is? Do you have him in speed dial? You think I'm crazy. When we moved to Massachusetts, there was a sweet lady by the name of Nancy Kidwell. I'll never forget her. Bobby's got a smile on her face because she knows Nancy so well. Nancy had a Scottish accent. And those of you in Wednesday night class, you've probably heard me mention Nancy. She was from Scotland. I love to hear Nancy talk. Nancy could just... she could read the dictionary. I could sit and listen to her because of her Scottish accent. She was just a sweet woman. She asked me one time, she said, and I hadn't been there very long. This was in Chicopee, Massachusetts after we moved there. And she asked me that very thing. She said, she asked me if I knew God's telephone number. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, no, I don't. She said, give me his number. She said, it's Jeremiah 33:3. And I said, well, that sounds like a scripture passage. She said, it's also his telephone number. And look at Jeremiah 33:3. It's up there on the screen. Have you already read that up there? The prophet told God's people, call to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He wrote that to God's people. Call me. Call me. Jeremiah 33:3. And you know what I did? I wrote that in the front of just about every Bible I've got. I haven't had this New English Translation very long, and I haven't written it in the front of there, but I should. But all my old Bibles, especially, you know, the old ones that I had during those days, I wrote Jeremiah 33:3 in the front of them. That is God's telephone number. And I love that. This was written to God's people. And the same principle applies today. You need to know this. Call to me. No matter where you go, no matter where you get to, you need to know God's telephone number. Call me, and I'll answer you. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to show you great and mighty things which you don't know. I heard a story one time, and I know who told it to me. It was Jim McGuigan, and I read his blog all the time still. Jim's back in Ireland now. And Jim mentioned the fact that there was this woman who had prayed for, and I probably told this story because this story really made an impression on me. This woman was praying for her son, who was a sinner, by the way. He was not a believer. And her son was, I think Jim used the word rounder. That's, you know, Irish for the fact that he was a drinker and he was a carouser and he was not a believer and he was a mess. And he was out there doing all sorts of things. But his mother was a godly woman and she was going to pray for him. And it didn't seem to be doing any good. He wasn't coming around. So finally his mother told him, you know, I've been praying wrong. Instead of praying for you to come around, I'm going to pray that God drags you down to the depths of the earth and shows you what true sin is all about so you will change. And I'm going to pray that He shows you real depravity so you will change. And she told him that she was going to pray that God would drag him down to the depths of sin and show him the dregs of mankind. And things got worse for that guy. And ultimately, that woman's son got scared of his mother's prayer. And he changed his life. And that he was convinced, and so was his mother, that was the only thing that changed him. And the reason I tell you that is because God says, call me. Call me. And I'm going to answer you. And if you get in a situation where things get bad and you don't know what else to do, call God. You may not know what else to do, but call Him. And He's going to answer you. And He's going to show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And you may run into people that don't know what else to do. Tell them to call God. You may not be able to help them. I know people who are in big trouble right now. They don't know what else to do. And the only thing I know to tell them to do, call God. Because there's nothing I can offer them. One guy in particular. I've got nothing to offer him except call God. Don't forget God's telephone number. And I would encourage you, the Bible you carry the most, write down in front of that Bible, God's telephone number, Jeremiah 33:3. And that applies to God's people. First off, if he's not a child of God, he needs to become a child of God because God's going to answer that phone for his people because this was written to God's people. Okay. Do you have a trial which seems unbearable? Why not release the burden to Jesus? Matthew 11:28, Jesus said that He would give you rest. Matthew 11:28. I read that passage often. Are there temptations nagging you that seem irresistible? Again, we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I'm sure this doesn't apply to you, but there are people you may know that feel like that they have lost their way in life. Maybe they at one time felt like they knew the way to go. But maybe they've gotten to a point they don't know the way to go. Jesus said, like we've talked about before, He is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. Follow the blueprint. Follow the blueprint. This morning, what I've told you is the fact that when there's nowhere else to go, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. The Bible's the blueprint. It's the instruction manual. It's the model. Spend time with it. You know, a lot of times, and I think this is good, you know, we've got plans to read through the Bible in a year, and that's good. Quantity is good, but quality is good too. Sometimes just read a passage or two and meditate on what it means. Meditate on things that it has to mean in your life. God created us in His image. Now, I'm not talking about physically. The Bible talks about that we were created in the image of God. He is talking about our spirits. Our spirits were created in the image of God. He gave us the things that we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. When you wonder sometimes why you do things, why you sin, we may not know. God knows. Pray to Him for forgiveness. He knows our potential. He knows things about us that we do not know ourselves. His way is best, not some of the time, but all the time. His way is the way you turn to first, not when everything else has failed. Not when every way else has failed. It's the reason we turn to it first, because He knows what makes us tick. Consult the directions. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours.